The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody. A fourth quarter comeback falls short for the Bears in Detroit, leads to a 40-32 loss to the Lions. The first of the season, and the Bears now at a tie with the NFC North Division lead after 1 month of the season. The preparation now turns in earnest to the New Orleans Saints, who happen to be playing tonight against the Miami Dolphins coming up at 7:30. They'll visit Soldier Field Sunday at noon. Pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall with the Bears Coaches Show, and we say hi to Mark Trestman. How you doing, Coach? And we're with you now, tonight till 7:30, so sit back and enjoy the show, and let's dig into what happened yesterday. First, and I know you're going to love this lead into it because you brought it up several times, not only yesterday but today throughout your visit with the media. Team showed heart. They were down 18, could have easily packed it in. That game could have got really out of hand, and it didn't.
Make no mistake about it, Jeff. There's no moral victories. I said that coming out. I mean, you know, we're paid to win and to be at our best. We weren't at our best yesterday for 60 minutes. The game was out of hand at halftime, and our guys came into the locker room. They composed themselves and made a collective decision that they weren't going to look around, that they were going to go out there and play one play at a time, do their job for the next 30 minutes, and we would see what happened, and it didn't come out the way we wanted to, but we certainly played up until the last play in all three phases of our football.
3 points allowed in the second half, and so this became, as you pointed out, almost a two-minute offense for 30 minutes of a game. That's certainly not what your intention was, to put it up that many times.
No, not against a defense like that. I mean, Detroit has a very good defense, certainly a very good front. Our offensive line, I thought, did an excellent job under the circumstances. There was no misdirection with our football. We couldn't run any movement game or play action game. It had no value at that point in time. And, you know, Jay had to move around a little bit for the most part. Those five guys, plus Matt, plus Eben, and the tight ends did a very sufficient job pass protecting for Jay during the 30 minutes of the second half.
All right. You mentioned Eben. For those folks out there that maybe didn't watch the whole game or understand what Mark's talking about, Eben Britton was a sixth offensive lineman in I think 11 snaps yesterday. What was the plan for that?
Well, I think that just with their front, just to give them a new look, and this is something that's universal throughout the league. You'll see teams use the extra tackle to block some of these large and very physical defensive ends and take some of the edge off our tight ends to have to do it on a regular basis.
And then Jay, overall, let's break down his day. He took a lot on his shoulders after the game on our post-game show. He brought it up. He brought it up, I guess, to the media as well after the game. But okay with the decision-making, fundamentals, footwork, things like that, we're not exactly where you want.
Yeah, there's not much more I can say. I think Jay covered it. He's accepted that, and certainly it all starts with me and the play calling and doing the best job I can. I think I could have done a better job for him at times during the game, and you know, I take responsibility that we're working together to try to get this thing done, and it's a job that is not just a one-man job, you know, and I think that we could have helped him, and he recognizes that he's got to go back to work just like all of us do, or all of our players do, and work on the fundamentals and techniques and get better. You heard Lance Briggs talk about it on the defensive side of the ball, and you heard Garza talk about it. I mean, this is a group of guys that is accepting equal amount of accountability, and that's a great way to start. And we win as a team, we lose as a team, and individually we got to do our best to show up on Wednesday and start over.
Third down bugs you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it doesn't bug me defensively because we did again another outstanding job in the third down department. We've got things to clean up, and we could talk about that, you know, in the half hour. But offensively, we were 1 of 13. We certainly had four or five other opportunities to convert and stopped ourselves. We made a couple, and we had penalties that forced us to go backwards, and we threw an interception on one of those after making a first down. So, we can do better. We've done, you know, a pretty good job in the first 3 weeks, and we got to when we have a chance to convert, we got to make the plays and get that done.
Yeah, it's not like it's been a rash because Jay was, I think, third-rated quarterback in the NFL and passing on third down entering yesterday's game.
Yeah, you got to give credit to Detroit. I mean, they were about 27% coming in, the tops in the league, but we had our opportunities to convert, and we didn't execute on our side. It wasn't what they did. And you always want to give credit to the defense and to the other team and not say that it was all about us not getting the job done. But for a half a dozen of them, we had chances to convert, and we didn't do it.
Silver lining moment now. So, you know, that would be classified as falling behind. Now you got to try and get into a shootout with a team. Do you feel confident after the number of points that this team has scored in the first month, however it happens, defensive touchdowns or otherwise, that you can and are equipped offensively, skill position-wise, and Jay, to get into a shootout with the team if necessary?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think if Jay had take the turnovers away, had another four throws back that were a little bit lower, a little bit high, we would have had substantial gains earlier on in that 30-minute period and had a chance to score quicker.
In this world now, and this just Lance brought this up in the news conference today, it disgusts him, as he put it, that they haven't been able to stop a team from less than 20 points yet this season, and that's not typically what they're used to doing as a defense. But in today's world, with the way the league is there a new standard for defensive excellence when it comes to points allowed?
You know, I don't know that. I do know that offensively and special teams-wise, we gave our defense a short field on four different occasions, and that's very difficult. At the 18, the 2-yard line, the 22-yard line, and the 35, to be in a short field like that is really very, very difficult against what coming in was the third or fourth rated offense in the league, and really did a sufficient job of stopping them in I think two of the four situations.
Yeah, those are backbreakers.
Certainly are.
And if you do settle for a field goal in those, that's a win.
Yeah. I know Lance was hard on himself afterwards, but at the end of the day, we can't turn the ball over and give our defense a short field. And our defense makes a living on a long field. The longer the field, the more opportunities they have to turn it over. And the fact of the matter is, our defense probably had 6 to 7 turnovers yesterday, of which they collected 3.
Ball didn't bounce exactly.
No, it didn't.
Stafford one's the killer because it's out there, you know, and it just grabs it back.
It was one of those days, and there's no excuses here. You know, we had plenty of opportunities to win the football game, and we didn't take care of business.
All right, we'll talk about the defense and Reggie Bush and the impact he made yesterday for the Lions and against the Bears with Mark Trestman. We're with you until 7:30 tonight.
Out of the eye now. Here's Jay. Slot right, Jeff. Going to pitch it out to the right. Forte's got some room at midfield to the 45. Big block by Brandon. There goes Forte. 15-10. Out runs everybody to the house. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. 53 yards for Matt Forte and a huge block by Brandon Marshall to make it all happen.
All right, and don't forget Alshon Jeffrey. Jeff, he had one that knocked out Darius Slay and Glover Quinn, one block, and Matt Forte chalks up his 29th career rushing touchdown in the loss to the Lions. That's the Bears Play of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with you at 6:42 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, and this is the Bears Coaches Show with Mark Trestman. You uttered it, great block. How about plural, great blocks, huh?
Yeah, Alshon and both Brandon, very physical. Two of the most physical perimeter blockers in the National Football League by far. They're complete players. A play that was well formatted by Aaron Cromer and really well executed by the entire 11 guys.
You know, Matt was mic'd up for our Bears Game Night live show last night on Fox, and they played it on the show last night. And I applaud Matt. He sought out everybody from Jordan Mills, who started the whole thing, to Kyle Cromer, hit, you know, Alshon, and he's telling the story about Alshon and the block knocking out two guys to everybody you could possibly tell. And I thought that was very cool, Matt, to do that.
Matt is one of the real quiet and very intelligent leaders in our football team. He comes to work every day. He sets the tone. The running back always does in an offense. The way he practices and works, and, you know, what goes probably unseen yesterday was, as Matt had two vicious blocks in protection as well, really two knockout blocks. In his pass protection as well, and just trying to be a complete player all the way around.
And you mentioned those two big receivers. You know, more and more when Alshon's running with a football, his long arms becoming weapons, obviously as a blocker, but even his stiff arms, they're pretty significant, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that, what we're starting to see the last couple weeks is the guy we saw in training camp and during the OTAs and practice, and it's starting to come out a little bit more. And I think that, you know, Bear fans are really gonna like what they see down the road here. He's a very gifted young man. Again, a quiet, highly intelligent guy, great character, and a physical player. I mean, he's learning from Brandon, and you know, a big part of what we're trying to get done here.
All right, let's flip it and talk about that defense. What was the plan? Because it begins, obviously, at some level with Calvin Johnson, and it's almost bizarre to think he had 44 yards of a nearly 400-yard offense, and they threw to him 10 times. It's not like they
That's right.
You know, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, there were 10 targets there. You know, the plan was to play as much shell coverage, cover two as we could, try to get our, you know, a rush going with four guys and defend the run, but still protect the big playability of Calvin Johnson, and we did that. I mean, we executed that, and you know, Matt Stafford's a guy who gets the ball off as quick as anybody in the league. It's very hard to get to him. When he held the ball, we got close, and we got our hands up and forced some misdirected throws. And Lance said it all. We just didn't do a good job overall of defending the run, and it's not that we didn't have the right defense called. It just happened that we didn't fit the run exactly right. And with a guy like Reggie Bush, you got to be literally perfect. And even when we're in the hole, he would make a guy miss. We got to tackle better. And it's not easy to tackle Reggie Bush, period. But that's something we just got to continue to get better at and better with our run fits. You know, we had Nate playing for the first time. We're moving Corey in there. We've got a Landon Cohen work, you know, playing a little bit now. And so we got some new guys in there. But overall, that was the biggest downside of what happened defensively, and there wasn't much else. It was the 100 plus yards of, you know, that were as a result of some missed tackles and some bad run fits.
Yeah, I think I redid the math. It was 109 yards on first down for Reggie Bush in that first half.
Yeah, that was there were 2 minutes of the second quarter that there was a big swing in points, obviously, but. First and second down, we weren't as good as we wanted to be. Third down, we were very good. Red zone, we were very good. And so we got some things to clean up. And we're not unlike most teams in the National Football League. After a month, there's everybody's saying the same thing. You listen to whether it's Tom Brady or anybody else there, everybody's talking the same way. We got to get better. There's things we got to work on. It's universal throughout the league. And we're not the only party, but we're the only ones that can take care of ourselves. So we're going to work at it on Wednesday.
Crazy thing, even Peyton Manning, as spectacular as been, the first thing he's talking about, he's cleaning up this, cleaning up that, cleaning up this, cleaning up that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the players in the National Football League have very high standards. The standard's perfection. We know we can't get there, but we're trying every day to be the best we can be. And that's what our players are trying to do, and that's why they're saying the things that they're saying. And they mean it. They want to get better.
Now, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how the safeties did well crashing the line of scrimmage against a guy like Adrian Peterson. Now, the Bears were forced to be in nickel a lot yesterday, mm-hmm. So a lot of six-man fronts. But safeties coming down, is a guy with the kind of put his foot in the dirt, make a sharp cut kind of guy a little bit more consuming in terms of a player's approach? Did they stop and think too much, as opposed to quote-unquote firing their gun and just bam?
You know, I can't answer that. I know this, that Reggie Bush makes a lot of people miss. And, you know, we got to get people around the ball. We got to wrap up. And, you know, we think we can clean it up, and we're going to continue to work at doing that.
All right, it's 6:48. More with Mark Trestman. One more segment. We'll take a look at the New Orleans Saints as well. And then coming up, we have a two-assistant night here on the Bears Coaches Show. We'll introduce you to two new faces on the Bears coaching staff.
Jay on the takeaway, going to end around on the near side with Jeffrey out in front. Biametta, 25-30, breaks away at the 40 to the sideline and out of bounds to the 46-yard line of the Bears. Nice 26-yard burst by Alshon.
Officially 27 yards and his 100-plus yard receiving day on five catches, his career high in yardage, and Alshon Jeffrey is our Tempur-Pedic player of the game. Welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. Jeff Joniak here with you until 7:30 tonight as Alshon Jeffrey more and more works in. We talked about it last break about his role and everything, and him, Martellus, and Brandon, they had double-digit targeted throws yesterday, so a nice wealth there to be had. Didn't catch everything, obviously, for a variety of reasons, but those guys are difficult to defend, that create mismatches all over the place for anybody, including the Detroit Lions yesterday.
Yeah, they're you know, they're big, strong guys. They understand the passing game. You can do a lot with them because they're smart guys. And then you have the addition of Matt and our ability to run the ball. So, you know, we're still evolving. We're still in the process of trying to, you know, see what fits us best as an offense and to try to put these guys in the best position to make plays. Brandon talks about it all the time with the additions of Alshon and Martellus. That'll give him more opportunities as we proceed to get single coverage and make some plays along the way, because after last week, it's going to be very difficult, you know, to single cover Alshon or Martellus along the way, because as soon as they double him, you know, there'll be opportunities to throw the ball to those two guys.
And you have brought that up really from the preseason till today, the single coverage. People really haven't caught on that, in my opinion, but that's what you're looking for here. You keep bringing it up, looking for the single coverage.
Well, you see where all the long balls were yesterday. There were guys who were single covered, basically, and we've got to continue to throw the ball up the field, and the best way to do it is to find the one-on-one and let them go up and make the contested throws. They've got the size, the arm length, and to be able to make those plays. And the plays Alshon's made, and you saw Brandon make the last few weeks, and the touchdown catches Brandon's had, and the back shoulder last week against Pittsburgh. You know, as soon as we see it, you know, we got to go at that coverage, and it's one-on-one is the best a coach can do for his quarterback and his receivers, and we try to find those matchups, and we got to take care of the line of scrimmage to do it. Our guys have done a good job with that, and as I said, we're just growing. We're trying to, you know, move the football. At the same time, we're still getting to know what best fits our football team.
Even the two-pointers, right? Those are the kind of throws you can make all day with this kind of size and height.
Brandon worked the back line beautifully on his play, and Alshon, of course, on the outside fade route. So, the process it's been fun, you know, trying to grow with the guys, and they're working hard at it, and, you know, we expect to get better as we move along.
Let's talk about the guys up front, because, again, they weren't in the most enviable position against that front, trailing by so many points, the offensive line.
Yeah, you don't want to throw the ball 47 times against Detroit. You want to be able to have some balance and give the guys a chance to come off and be physical and run their feet and get their pads down. And it was a very difficult game for offensive line to have to hold up, and they fought right up until the end, and you see it. And, you know, Garza was accepting accountability at times. Today I saw his press conference, and, you know, that's typical Roberto, you know, trying to take responsibility. But I thought, you know, standing in my shoes, that these guys really battled up front under what are the most chaotic of situations, in the noise and down by a big margin, to have to fight their way back and throw the football as much as we did. It was an excellent job.
All right, let's take a look at the New Orleans Saints. You will here in moments while you're working. Probably have it on in the background to watch the Saints and then break them down starting tomorrow on tape against the Miami Dolphins. And it starts with Drew Brees. So, I remember when he came to the combine, people were trying to question whether or not he was taller than 6 feet or not, and that was a big deal. And it set his jaw back then. I was at that combine. I was at that news conference. And wow, what he's become.
Yeah, he is. I had a chance to spend the 07 season around him. He's the consummate professional in every way, and he's got tremendous physical tools. The way he uses his body and torque to power the football and spin the football, he's really something unique, and his preparation is outstanding. He's got a core of, you know, really solid players in Colston and Devin and Henderson and Jimmy Graham, and I've spent the day, and I know a little bit about what they do offensively, because what we do is very similar in style to what we're there at with Aaron coming here and a lot of the things that Sean's doing in New Orleans. And then the other side of the ball, Rob Ryan's really doing an excellent job. They're in their 30 front now. They've got three big, thick guys inside. They're all over the place with their coverages and really doing a good job and really beefed up their defense and given New Orleans a little more on the other side of the ball to go with their very powerful offense.
So there's a lot of familiarity here. Is that a challenge now?
Well, I think that there's familiarity, but at the end of the day, the guys on the field are going to play the game, and we got to execute with fundamentals and techniques. Everybody's got to do their job, and it should be make for just an excellent football game.
Sean invited you, Sean Payton, in 07. How'd that all come about?
Sean and I had known each other for years as coordinators in the league, and when I was out of football, I ran into him at the combine, and he said, "What are you doing over the summer?" And I said, "No real plans." He said, "Well, why don't you come to training camp and just hang out with us for the month?" And I did, and he invited me to stay through the year. I didn't stay full time, but I was there on Monday to Wednesday to help him game plan. I used to come in Sunday night, Monday morning, and leave Wednesday and just do game planning. And I didn't want to be away from my family at the time, but he really gave me an opportunity. Him and Mickey Loomis, the general manager, for a guy out of football, treated me with great dignity and respect and gave me an opportunity to be around the game. And I consider Sean a great friend. And he gave me an opportunity when I had nothing really going to keep me in the game of football, and I'll always be very appreciative of it.
Well, it'll be fun to see the two teams battle on Sunday. Big one at Soldier Field.
Sure is, Jeff.
All right, thank you very much, Mark. Coming up next, two of Mark's assistants to join the program as we're joined by Sean Desai and Mr. Stukes from the special teams unit joining the program.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant Sean Desai, Dwayne Stukes, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
The most disappointing part of watching the film was that, a lot of their big runs came, against eight-man fronts. We weren't even in cover two.
And that's Lance Briggs earlier today, a bit upset about what happened yesterday as the Bears fall to the Lions in Detroit. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show at 7:13. Here with assistant coaches Sean Desai and Dwayne Stukes as we take a look back and look ahead and find out a little about these guys as well. We'll pick it up there real quick. Yesterday's game, frustrating on many levels for the fellas, and you're a defensive quality control coach, so you're looking ahead a couple weeks, and you're also very familiar with the opponent, though, and their offense, and you're knee-deep in the special teams and helping out in any way you can. And that was an area yesterday probably could have got a little bit of better work from.
Absolutely. Anytime you go out there, we've practiced all week and prepared the guys all week, and to give up a couple big plays on special teams is a little disappointing, but all you can do is grow from it, learn from it, watch the tape, and coach the guys up to get better. You can't harp on one play here, one play there, because we have the capability of producing plays on special teams as well. So it was a tough day from the aspect of giving up a punt return, but I think we responded as a team on kickoff coverage, and we're just going to grow and get better from that.
Yeah, kickoff coverage, I'd say it was very good yesterday.
Kept them inside the 20. Their starting average was probably the 20.7. So that was a positive point that we could take from that.
And with some new bodies on coverage, Michael Ford was out there.
Michael Ford, C.J. Wilson. We had some young guys, but again, Coach Trestman, Coach Deacon Millis always talks about not using excuses of those guys being young. The older guys have to bring them up in the system because we have a lot of leadership here. So that's where we're at right now. We don't make a lot of excuses. We just get better.
All right, so you're the defensive mind in the room right now. So although you played DB, right?
And I coached DBs at
that. The trick of coming down to the box from the safety position, and they put you guys in nickel a lot yesterday because of what their packages were, but the difficulty of trying to stop a guy like Reggie Bush, who's got that dart quickness.
Yeah, Reggie's just a really good athlete, really good in open space, and you just got to be a sound tackler. You got to be, use your form, use your technique and fundamentals, which is, something Coach Tucker and Coach Trestman always stresses that, it's all about us. It's about how we use our technique and how we use our fundamentals. And if we're sound and solid that way, then we'll be okay. And so, on a few of those plays, obviously you can't miss when you got a guy like Reggie Bush in the open field. And so that hurt us a few times, but the guys responded pretty well. The guys responded really well in the second half, and we came back and we fought, and we found out a lot about the character of our team as we go forward.
Right. It could have been a huge blowout. I mean, you guys did not, you guys clawed back in. Right?
Yeah,
you
made not a huge blowout. Let's not say that.
No, I'm saying, though, could have got out of hand. And you're a couple onside kicks, which are tough to recover. But, if the ball bounced a certain way, boom.
Absolutely. Myself and Coach Deacon Miller just watched Atlanta's onside kick that they successfully recovered last night. It was the same type of game plan we had. The ball just didn't bounce, like you said, in our favor. But, hopefully we won't be in that situation next time.
Exactly. Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 on WSCR, 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Coach Stukes, you're from UAVA. Did you play at all with Coach Groh? He was a quarterback there. Did you precede him?
Absolutely. Groh's older than me. Way older than me.
But you played with some pretty good names over there, UVA.
I did. I played with Rondé Barber, Tiki Barber, Thomas Jones, Jermaine Crowell, Jamie Sharper, James Ferrier, a lot of guys that were older than me, but we had a talented team while I was there, real talented. George Welsh was the head coach, and you know, same type of atmosphere is here. We were built like a family, and we had leadership just like the Chicago Bears do, and we went out and fought every game just like we do here with the Chicago Bears.
And football in your life, your father was a Super Bowl V cornerback, Charlie Stukes, for the Baltimore Colts.
Yes, he is. A lot of people don't know that, but my dad was he won a Super Bowl with the Colts. He played with Johnny Unitas. He played with Bubba Smith. I mean, he played with a lot of great Colts football players. He was actually a college quarterback, but when he got to the NFL, he was a 6'4 corner, and he dominated for 9 years.
I tell you what, dominate is right. He played 107 games. He picked the ball 32 times for the Rams and the Colts.
And he tells me that.
Often. But, you know, did he teach you something about the game of football that carries with you to today? Now, he's an older man. I believe he's still in education. Isn't he? Is he a principal?
Yes, he's an assistant principal at Oscar Smith High School in Virginia. And he taught me a lot about football, just like my mom did as well. I think both of them had a lot to do with me playing and now coaching football. You know, it's a way to teach and be around a lot of guys and build relationships, and it's just something that I love to do. But he definitely had a role in it.
And the good doctor over here, you played high school football with Dan Orlovsky.
Yes,
you were teammates.
Yeah,
so
Dan's
Super Bowl V and Dan Orlovsky. No disrespect to Dan. So you were on defense, and he was quarterback in your high school.
That's right. We were cat and mouse in practice every day.
You guys good friends?
Yeah, we stay in touch.
Yeah,
you know, it's been busy. You know, he's obviously busy. And I've been busy here.
Very good. One more segment with these two kind gentlemen as we get you one more check of traffic and weather.
But we have to do a better job. I mean, it comes down to us protecting and allowing him to finish that. He scrambled around way too much. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we couldn't stop those guys.
That is Roberto Garza earlier today here at Hallis Hall. Welcome back to the final segment, our coaches show here at the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios. Coach Tressman will be along in a moment, and assistants Sean Desai. And Mr. Stukes, looking ahead now to the New Orleans Saints. You guys will have the TV on tonight watching the Dolphins, but you do a lot of advanced tape work, right?
Yeah,
so you probably don't sleep, right? You work nonstop. And do you do the same at some level?
Absolutely, but not as hard as Sean, though.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's a doctor, so he's pulling all-nighters all the time. But, you know, we know about Drew Brees, but the guy that scares me is Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham, where is he right now in terms of tight ends and how to stop this guy?
Yeah, you know, they do a great job. Coach Payton's got a great system. They do a great job of moving those guys in different positions, getting them in positions to play. And it's not only Jimmy Graham, they got Sproles in the backfield, who's another, you know, explosive running back. So they have a lot of different weapons. And, again, we're just going to have to make sure that we're sound and fundamentally and technically sound in what we're doing.
And what scares me, they moved Reggie on, so they bring in Sproles, you know? So same, not the same type of player, but the same concept, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a smaller, like Sean just mentioned, explosive player that, again, we just have to take care of what we do best, and that's covering and hope for the best.
Quick gander at their special teams. What are they looking like?
Absolutely. It's a good group. Morstead, their punter, is real talented, has a strong leg. And then, again, Sproles, he's their punt returner and kickoff returner. Again, he's explosive. He's small, but he's powerful, which a lot of people they underestimate him. But, you know, we're just going to prepare this week, do what we need to do to get better, and come out with our best foot forth.
And you have the same body type as Darren Sproles.
I think I'm a little bit bigger. He's like 5'8".
Well, fellas, we're going to let you go. We really appreciate it. Good luck to the rest of the season. Good luck in your careers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you.
I know you guys are climbing the ladders in the NFL. We really appreciate it. Earlier tonight, head coach Mark Trestman talking about Alshon Jeffrey, who had a career day yesterday, and the Bears' loss and his blocking was the understated element of his performance.
Alshon and both Brandon, very physical. Two of the most physical perimeter blockers in the National Football League by far. They're complete players. A play that was well formatted by Aaron Cromer and really well executed by the entire 11 guys.
You know, Matt was mic'd up for our Bears Game Night live show last night on Fox, and they played it on the show last night. And I applaud Matt. He sought out everybody from Jordan Mills, who started the whole thing, to Kyle Cromer, hit, you know, Alshon, and he's telling the story about Alshon and the block knocking out two guys to everybody you could possibly tell. And I thought that was very cool, Matt, to do that.
Matt is one of the real quiet and very intelligent leaders in our football team. He comes to work every day. He sets the tone. The running back always does in an offense. The way he practices and works and you know, what goes probably unseen yesterday was as Matt had two vicious blocks in protection as well, really two knockout blocks in his pass protection as well, and just trying to be a complete player all the way around.
And you mentioned those two big receivers. You know, more and more when Alshon's running with a football, his long arms becoming weapons, obviously as a blocker, but even his stiff arms, they're pretty significant, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we're starting to see the last couple weeks is the guy we saw in training camp and during the OTAs and practice, and it's starting to come out a little bit more. And I think that, you know, Bear fans are really going to like what they see down the road here. He's a very gifted young man. Again, a quiet, highly intelligent guy, great character, and a physical player. I mean, he's learning from Brandon you know, a big part of what we're trying to get done here.
All right, let's flip it and talk about that defense. What was the plan? Because it begins, obviously, at some level with Calvin Johnson, and it's almost bizarre to think he had 44 yards of a nearly 400-yard offense, and they threw to him 10 times. It's not like they
Well, that's right.
You know, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, there were 10 targets there. You know, the plan was to play as much shell coverage, cover two, as we could, try to get our, you know, rush going with four guys and defend the run, but still protect the big playability of Calvin Johnson, and we did that. I mean, we executed that, and you know, Matt Stafford's a guy who gets the ball off as quick as anybody in the league. It's very hard to get to him. When he held the ball, we got close, and we got our hands up and forced some misdirected throws. And Lance said it all. We just didn't do a good job overall of defending the run. And it's not that we didn't have the right defense called. It just happened that we didn't fit the run exactly right. And with a guy like Reggie Bush, you got to be perfect, literally perfect. And even when we're in the hole, he would make a guy miss. We got to tackle better. And you know, it's not easy to tackle Reggie Bush, period. But that's something we just got to continue to get better at and better with our run fits. You know, we had Nate playing for the first time. We're moving Corey in there. We're moving. We've got Landon Cohen, you know, playing a little bit now. And so we got some new guys in there. But overall, that was the biggest downside of what happened defensively. And there wasn't much else. It was the 100 plus yards of, you know, that were as a result of some missed tackles and some bad run fits.
Yeah, I think I redid the math. It was 109 yards on first down for Reggie Bush in that first half.
Yeah, that was you know, there were 2 minutes of the second quarter that there was a big swing in points, obviously. But first and second down, we weren't as good as we wanted to be. Third down, we were very good. Red zone, we were very good, and so we got some things to clean up. And we're not unlike most teams in the National Football League. After a month, there's everybody's saying the same thing. You listen to whether it's Tom Brady or anybody else, there, everybody's talking the same way. We got to get better. There's things we got to work on. It's universal throughout the league, and we're not the only party, but we're the only ones that can take care of ourselves. So we're going to work at it on Wednesday.
National Bank of Chicago. Sunday's game brought to you by Chase, the official bank of the Bears since 1934. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears Chase scarf. That's going to do it. For head coach Mark Trestman and assistant coaches Sean Desai and Dwayne Stukes, I'm Jeff Joniak. This is the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.